Welcome to No Longer Conformed, my online preaching and teaching ministry. We're studying the book of Revelation in this study, which I've entitled The Unveiling. In this session, we'll be looking at Revelation chapter 17, verses 1 through 7. Let's read those verses as we begin. Revelation chapter 17, beginning with verse 1. Then one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls came and talked with me, saying to me, "Come, I will show you the judgment of the great harlot who sits on many waters, with whom the kings of the earth committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth were made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness. And I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet beast, which was full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. The woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet, and adorned with gold and precious stones and pearls, having in her hand a golden cup full of the abominations and the filthiness of her fornication. And on her forehead a name was written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and of the abominations of the earth. I saw the woman drunk with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I marveled with great amazement. But the angel said to me, Why did you marvel? I will tell you the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carries her, which has the seven heads and the ten horns. We got a glimpse of the destruction of Babylon back in chapter 14 and 16. In chapter 14, verse 8, and chapter 16, verse 9, it is both an ancient system, it's both an ancient city and a world system. Chapter 17 depicts the fall of religious and political Babylon. And then in chapter 18, it records the destruction of commercial Babylon. First, the historical city. When did it begin? Well, in Genesis chapter 10, in the first part of verse 10, it says, The beginning of Nimrod's kingdom was Babel in the land of Shinar. Its greatness was under King Nebuchadnezzar. It had 100-foot-high walls, which were very thick. Historians say that the walls around Babylon were so thick that four chariots could race on its top, four abreast. And yet, Isaiah, in chapter 13, verses 19 and 20, prophesied, and Babylon, the glory of kingdoms, the beauty of the Chaldeans' pride, will be as when God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah. It will never be inhabited, nor will it be settled from generation to generation, nor will the Arabians pitch tents there, nor will the shepherds make their sheepfolds there. The second is the world system. Babylon stands for a world system. So it's a city, but it also represents a world system. One of the bowl angels showed John the details in verses 1 and 2. Then one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls came and talked with me, saying to me, Come, I will show you the judgment of the great harlot who sits on many waters, with whom the kings of the earth committed fornication, and her inhabitants of the earth and the inhabitants of the earth were made drunk with the wine of her fornication. Harlot. The word harlot is mentioned four times in this chapter. Verse 1, we've read verse 5, and then later on in verses 15 and 16. She's the apostate church of the end times. When Jesus raptures his church, religion is just going to continue on. The tribulation saints will be outside of the organized church. They won't be part of the the church structure. They'll meet and do their ministry outside of that. And the Antichrist, the beast, he'll quickly destroy it. But it will become a worldwide church in alliance with kings. Well, how's that going to be done? Well, if you look back at 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 and 2, it says, "Now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron." In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 3 and 4, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itchy ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables." Churches today that do not have a strong biblical foundation ultimately end up committing spiritual adultery. Verse 3 pictures political power. It says, "So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet beast, which was full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and seven horns." Well, we know that the beast is the Antichrist. She's sitting on him, empowered by his great influence. She's dressed, displaying glory and wealth, and yet her filthiness of sin is there for everyone to see. Verse 4, it says, "The woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet, in royal gowns, royal garments, and adorned with gold and precious stones and pearls, having in her hand a golden cup," but what's in the cup? "Full of abominations and the filthiness of her fornication." She is empowered by the beast. She's sitting and riding on the influence and the authority and the power of the beast. So she's gained great, great influence and power herself as a worldwide church. Verse 5, "And on her forehead a name was written, Mystery, Babylon, the Great, the mother of harlots and of the abominations of the earth." That word mystery is a noun. It's not an adjective. John is giving a code to Christians there. It's a noun. He's speaking of something. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 13 to 15, the apostle says, "For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ." And no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their works. This is not the city of Babylon. Rome is clearly is seen clearly here. This is a church, but it is a counterfeit church. The true church is also called mystery. So this is a counterfeit to the true. Chapter 17, verse 9. "Here is the mind," listen, "which has wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sits." And in verse 18, "And the woman whom you saw is that great city which reigns over the kings of the earth." And in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 32, "This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church." So, this Babylon is a counterfeit church, but it's clearly seen as Rome. The seven heads are seven mountains. We talked about that earlier. The woman which you saw is that great city, which is on those seven hills. So this is talking about Rome. This mother is the mother of harlots. Many groups will join under her. A federated world church, a worldwide church. Let me tell you something. It's difficult not to see what would be the Roman Catholic Church at that time. But not only that church, it'll be a federation of churches making up a world church. But that structure, that worldwide structure of the Roman Catholic Church gives a foundation for that. Verses 6 and 7 indicate that this church will be a persecutor of believers in Jesus Christ during this time with much success. Look at verse 6 again. I saw the woman drunk with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. So this church, whatever it's become after the rapture of the true church, whatever this structure is that's left, and all the churches that gather together with it for this federation, it's going to be a persecutor of Christians, believers who come to know, those who come to know Jesus Christ during the tribulation. I saw the woman drunk with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I marveled with great amazement. But the angel said to me, why do you marvel? I will tell you the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carries her, which has the seven heads and the seven horns. John is absolutely amazed at what he sees. The angel explains it. I don't want to leave you with an unsubstantiated picture. Nimrod of Genesis chapter 10, he was the first world dictator. The legend goes that his wife, Semiramis, had a son named Tammuz. He was conceived miraculously by a sunbeam. He was killed by a wild boar. And after 40 days, he was resurrected. Over time, it became known as the religious cult of the woman and the child. And the mother is referred to as the Queen of Heaven. This legend and cult evolved into a practice which today we call Lent. The 40 days ritual leading up to Easter. Well, just a nice story? Well, actually, it's referred to in the Bible. In Jeremiah chapter 44, verses 15 to 19, it's explained very carefully. Jeremiah 44, verse 15. Then all the men who knew that their wives had burned incense to other gods, with all the women who stood by, a great multitude, and all the people who dwelt in the land of Egypt, in Pathros, answered Jeremiah, saying, as for the word that you have spoken to us in the name of the Lord, we will not listen to you. But we will certainly do whatever has gone out of your mouth to burn incense to the Queen of Heaven and pour out drink offerings to her, as we have done, we and our fathers, our kings and our princes, for the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem. For then we had plenty of food, were well off and saw no trouble. But since we stopped burning incense to the Queen of Heaven and pouring out drink offerings to her, we have lacked everything and have been consumed by the sword and by famine. The woman also said, and when we burned incense to the Queen of Heaven and poured out drink offerings to her, did we make cakes for her to worship her and pour our drink offerings to her without our husband's permission? In fact, God sent Ezekiel to see that cult. Send them to go see that cult. The prophet watched the women of Israel observing the 40 days of Lent for the slaying of Tammuz. It was an abomination to the Lord. This thing which is turned into Lent today. Ezekiel chapter 8, verses 13 and 14. And he said to me, turn again, and you will see greater abominations that they are doing. And so he brought me to the door of the north gate of the Lord's house. And to my dismay, women were sitting there weeping for Tammuz. Listen, let me tell you something. The Word of God reveals much to us if we study it and if we're willing to receive what it tells us. Listen, a celebration of Ishtar, Easter, was developed with 40 days of Lent to mourn Tammuz. A feast was then observed for his resurrection. And the exchanging of Ishtar eggs as part of the festival. The mother-son cult ended up in Rome. The Roman emperor was elected to the title and the role of Pontifex Maximus, or greatest high priest. When the emperors ceased to be, the Bishop of Rome gathered all of the emperor's titles to himself. We know him today as the Pope. What was Nimrod's religion according to the legend? Well, the worship of the Queen of Heaven, eating of the wafer, the doctrine of purgatory, wearing of vestments, and observance of the 1001 lesser mysteries. Those rituals were brought into the church, which ruled Europe, and the Roman Catholic Church and its rites began. You have a great day.